Welcome back, everybody. My name is Evan.
I'm Andrew.
And we are so glad that you joined us back on the BCC pod. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive, at the gym, or you're just relaxing at home, we are so glad that you're here today. This week, we are continuing on in our conversations around worship, and today we're diving into the topic from this past weekend, which is around kind of worship and wonder and surrender and all those good things, and you tried to get me to go camping, which was really sick, so...
I did. I can say that comment around camping split the room, right? There were those who were like, yep, and then there were those who were like, never.
I think I've worked with you for what now, like 9 years?
Yeah.
And there's like... I still have a vibe where I'm like, yeah, I'd follow you pretty much anywhere at this point, except camping.
That's where the line gets drawn.
It's like, oh, okay, there is a line. So yeah, you're talking about, this was the second week in this kind of mini worship series. Do you want to dive into kind of what your main takeaway from the weekend was?
Yeah, my main kind of takeaway was for people to try to develop that heart of either surrender, wonder, or serving, and that really develops your heart for worship. And so, yeah, the kind of main takeaway was to just do one of the six things that I kind of invited people into to actually, yeah, develop your heart in one of those three ways. Mm-hmm. That's what will bring you closer to Christ. It'll bring you closer to God, and it'll make sure that you stay kind of open to Him. So that was kind of my main takeaway. It was just for people, hopefully, to take one practical aspect, whether it was camping, which some people were into and some people were very much not into. And both actually sides of the camping question felt the need to talk to me. Like both sides were like, that was great or the worst. So that was kind of my hope out of it, the practical takeaways that people would develop their heart.
Yeah, so you talked about surrendering, submitting to God. You talked about wonder, so recapturing awe. And then you talked about serving, so living out worship by helping others. Mm-hmm. I kind of have one question, just because I was interested, before we get into kind of cut for time or any other things like that, is there one that's been hitting for you more than others recently as a, like, kind of, yeah, a good form of worship for you right now in your life?
That's a great question. I would say of the three that I kind of mentioned, of surrender, wonder, and serving, for me, it's been wonder. Hmm. Like, I think we live in a world that Charles Taylor calls it disenchanted, meaning that we don't sometimes see the wonder, the amazement, the transcendence. Like, we do sometimes around birth, around death, or around certain moments, but we live without this sense of wonder. And I actually think we should be regaining that. Mm. I think that that's something that, for me, God's really been speaking to me. So that, for me, that was the one that most had been kind of resonant on my heart. And I've been thinking about what Abraham Joshua Heschel said, where he said, like, I prayed for wonder and you gave it to me. And I've been just praying, God, let me see the wonder in the world around us and in the people. And yeah, that's one really stuck with me.
It's one that I think can be incredibly transformative in day-to-day life. And I say that because I've experienced that in my life, is just like, yeah, having a lens of wonder, or looking for moments of wonder in your life, I think kind of goes hand in hand with gratitude at the same time. So I think there's this bit of a like a healthy loop that comes with wonder, where it's like when you are in those moments in your life, or when you stop to see and sense those moments, you can't help but also have an overwhelming sense of gratitude for that in your life as well. And I think it produces this really good, kind of hand in hand loop in your life of like looking for things and then just being grateful for them. Right. And
I think it also goes along with something else we've talked a lot on this podcast about being curious. Hmm. Like, wonder and curiosity is just, and I don't know, a beautiful thing. Even the other day, I saw a rainbow for the first time in like what I felt like was, I don't know, years. Yeah. And it really did capture my attention. I was like, and it wasn't like I was seeing it for the first time, but it was just, for me, there was a sense of like, this is beautiful, this is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then even thinking through, I don't really know how like rainbows are made. Like, I know it's like sunlight through water and stuff. Like, and I just kind of got curious about it, and it just, I don't know, made the whole thing. It was just a regular everyday moment in the sense of like, you can't control it. It just kind of happened. And It was just really cool. So I just think, yeah, wonder and curiosity and gratitude, those things all, I don't know, push us in the right direction towards God in a beautiful way.
Yeah. It's something too that I think has been more in my life now that I have littles in my life too. That like over the past kind of year, I've had like my girlfriend Beck and her kids have been involved in my life. And like, wonder's a very easy practice for kids.
Oh yeah.
And even that curiosity piece where it's like, yesterday we were talking about how crazy the rain was, right? And mm-hmm. how intense it was and how it makes you not want to go outside and that sort of thing. And it's one thing to be like, oh yeah, the rain was crazy. It's another thing to have a 5-year-old saying like, whoa, where does rain come from?
Yeah.
Right. And being like, oh my goodness, like, where does rain come from? Yeah, that is crazy. That is loud. Like all those sort of things. It's just kind of like, yeah, that, I think sometimes wonder can tie you back into your current moment too. Like it gives you a bit of a grounding in the present moment, which I think is very cool.
Well, I think you're really right with that because I don't think you can experience wonder without being present.
Yeah.
Like it's actually when you're fully present that you experience wonder because it's tied to something. And I think one of the problems is in our modern world is we live in our heads and we live in the future and not so much like just grounded in the moment when you can actually just appreciate a rainbow or an ice cream truck that may, you know, come down or whatever else. Because I kind of shared that story on Sunday. actually, then the other funny part with that was on Sunday, we had the ice cream truck come down again.
Okay, yeah.
And it like parked like on the street of our house. Like,
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I texted you, I think Sunday night, and I was like, I can literally hear an ice cream truck in my neighborhood. And I was like, you did this.
It's happening. But it was funny when we had friends over on for Father's Day and they had never been to an ice cream truck. So, of course, what do we all do after talking about it? We all go over and get ice cream from this ice cream truck. That's just, I don't know. But you wouldn't do that if you weren't actually in the moment.
No.
So I just think wonder is one of those things that grounds you in the moment and also opens you up to God's presence.
Yeah. Was there anything from this past weekend that you kind of wanted to dive into deeper that you didn't get a chance to?
No, I thought with this weekend, sometimes we end up having like topics that are a lot larger with having really 2 Sundays to talk through kind of some of the themes with worship. I just really was hoping to try to make it as practical for people and sharing stories about what this looks like to have a heart of worship that is a bit bigger than just the songs we sing. Not that that obviously like that matters. And that's one of the ways that we can enter into like worshiping God. But it's just bigger than that and deeper than that. And so I felt pretty good with being able to say, here's a pretty wide range of ideas, everything from spiritual practices to camping to, you know, to serving and helping others. And
yeah. Before we keep going today, I want to let you know about something that's coming up this Sunday. So our congregational budget meeting is happening at 12:15 in the auditorium. This is a chance to hear updates on our church finances, review the proposed budget for the upcoming year, and ask any questions you may have about what's going on here. Everyone is welcome to attend, whether you're a member or not. And if you're a member, you'll be invited to vote as well on the upcoming budget. We hope to see you there as we look ahead together and kind of share some exciting things that are coming up. And if you're interested in seeing the budget for next year, it's live on our website as well. So you can check that out and all the details for the budget meeting at the link in the description. We hope to see you there. So we got some questions for today.
Hey.
These are, we didn't have any congregational questions, so these are all from my brain.
Okay.
Hopefully they're good enough. So the first one says, what role does discomfort or resistance play in drawing near to God? Can spiritual growth begin with reluctance?
Yes, I would say that's a short answer. But
question two.
Yes, question two. Moving on. Great job. Actually, there's a theologian I like who once wrote that if you aren't feeling discomfort or you never feel discomfort, then you aren't listening to the Spirit.
Hmm.
That one of the things the Spirit does actually is agitate us to move forward. The Spirit also can be a consoling presence, a presence that is compassionate. But sometimes the Spirit also is the one who invites us to move. Matthew 4, where it talks about Jesus actually going into the wilderness to be tested, it actually says that the Spirit drives him there. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes we don't realize that when we're in spaces of perhaps reluctance or even discomfort, that that might actually be God's way of moving us into the next kind of season or phase or space that he has for us. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, reluctance or discomfort specifically, God can use that to move us into the right kind of next space for us.
Yeah. You can tell how my brain works because you said that the Spirit drives him there, and then I couldn't get out of my head the picture of like the Holy Spirit dropping Jesus off in the desert in like a Honda Civic.
Like an Uber driver.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's like Uber Camel.
Yeah. Yeah. Uber Camel. That's a great line. I like that.
Before that gets worse, question number two, how do we recognize the whisper of the Spirit in a culture addicted to volume, urgency, and speed?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Because as I shared on Sunday, I often think that the Spirit speaks very quietly to us or in a still small voice, or we read in 2 Kings, or it might be 1 Kings, where Elijah is looking for God, and he's in a cave of a mountain, and there's like an earthquake, and there's fire, and there's wind, and there are these huge, huge, voluminous kind of moments, and God wasn't in any of them. And then it says at the end that God was in the sound of like sheer silence. That's how you could kind of translate it from Hebrew into English. And so I think that part of our problem is that we do not have spaces of silence. Even for me personally, I've gotten into this kind of new habit of I go often either for a run or a walk in the mornings, like quite early. And I've gotten into the habit of not listening to music while I'm running, or to just actually be kind of present.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something we need to kind of develop, and we have to pay attention for it. One of the ways that culture forms us is it forms us in ways that we don't often think about. And one of the things I think we don't think about is how little silence we have in our day. We have podcasts, we have AirPods in all the time, or we have music going or TV in the background or whatever it might be, that I think we need to cultivate spaces of silence if we're going to learn to hear God. And I think part of the problem is that we, or at least I'll just say for me, sometimes I might try to carve out space to hear from God, and I kind of expect him to be like, well, you should speak to me instantly then, because now I have like 5 minutes of silence and I've sat here for 5 minutes. And it gets tied into kind of consumerism and speed rather than patience and attention or attentiveness to God. So I think what we need to develop is patience and attentiveness to him. And that's going to come through different ways. And one of the ways I mentioned on Sunday would be to pray the Jesus prayer. It's a great way to slow your brain down and to slow your mind down and to focus in, and to then let God kind of speak. It's a great way to quiet your soul in that sense of things.
Yeah, I think that's so good. Question number three says, why do you think, or do you think we're taught to suppress wonder in our lives? Or is it something that we lose with age?
I've never thought about this. I think it's something that we culturally get suppressed, meaning that I bet, and although I don't, this is just my own opinions based on, I don't know, no real like specific reading of it, but I do really believe, actually, no, Charles Taylor's the book, A Secular Age, I think really points to this, that other ages lived with real sense of wonder, even into adulthood. And I think if you were to go back to Jesus's day and age, right, if you were to see people there, they would have a greater sense of that the world is enchanted than we do. So I think it's actually a cultural thing that suppresses that, that what we do with our scientific modern age is we think that there is a reason for everything, and that we think there is scientific reasons for everything. And there are science, like I'm not downplaying science. But that starts us to stop to kind of have a sense of wonder at the beauty of the world around us. I also think wonder gets tied, we've talked a lot about it already, but tied directly into beauty. And I think that we've also lost the appreciation for beauty. Like how often do we honestly just like look at the flowers around us and be like, oh wow, these are really gorgeous, or trees or whatever. I think that beauty, as Dostoevsky said, like beauty will save the world. And that comes in through wonder as well. So for me, I think it's more of a cultural suppression than something we just lose as we age. We lose as we age because of our culture kind of, I think, squeezes it out of us. And everything gets formed for, I don't know, information, for reasons. And
And I think there's a bit of a, I think sometimes wonder can be looked down on as immaturity or as like naivety, or that there's something that there's something, childish about wonder and that sort of thing. And the more simple it is, the more immature it seems. And like, even just like the ways that we try and kind of stamp out imagination in certain ways too, and those sort of things. And like, I like what you mentioned just about beauty, because I think sometimes we get lost when it comes to wonder and like grandeur as well, that it looks like like you're sharing, right? Like it looks like mountains or like sunsets or like these big things, but oftentimes it is as simple as like, yeah, seeing flowers that you might see every single day,
yeah,
and taking a moment to be like, oh wait, right. Yeah. And really like taking in the beauty of that. And, like I remember one of my favorite kinds of flowers is sunflowers.
Yeah.
And I remember when I had, the previous place I had lived, when I had just moved in, right around the corner from me, a house just decided to plant a bunch of sunflowers. So over the next season, I just got to watch them grow.
Yeah.
Every time I would come home from work. And it was just this like really simple thing. But also just like, I'm like, oh, I love that that's a part of my life.
Yeah.
That I just get to watch these grow. And that's beautiful. And that's, like, and it's, again, very simple. But sometimes it's just that awareness piece, right? Of saying like, oh, this is actually really beautiful. And I'm grateful and that it's a part of my life.
Yeah. I think too, this is just going to be Andrew mentioning philosophers all day. I feel like that's what's happened with like Charles Taylor. And you had mentioned naivety. So Paul Ricoeur, he's a philosopher, has this idea that we start off in what he calls like first naivete. So it's like childish, where you're naive to things and you have the sense of wonder. He actually says though that as you grow and mature, you actually circle back to what he calls second naivete, where you go back into things and it's not childish, it's childlike. And like, I know that there are scientific reasons for a rainbow, but I can still then appreciate a rainbow. And I just like that idea that maturity actually leads you back into wonder, not away from it.
Yeah. That's so good.
That's cool, right? He's a he's a cool thinker anyway.
Question four says, what's the difference between awe and entertainment? And have we confused one for the other in our spiritual lives?
Oh, 100%. These questions are great, Evan.
Thank you.
100% that is. I think the difference is consumption.
Mm.
So awe comes with it a sense of, I would say awe comes with it a sense of gratitude. Like when you see something that is really like awestruck or whatever, you are not consuming it. You are participating in the observing of it and the receiving of it.
Yeah.
Like you are, when you see a great film, you are not like consuming that as a product. You are really like entering in and being a part of it. Entertainment is really, I think it's based on our consumption. It's just, it's a lesser form. You don't have awe or transcendence at Love is Blind. Like you don't have that kind of, it fills a different role. But if you see like a beautiful, like Terrence Malick film, it should evoke something within you that is like, this is bigger and it grounds you. I think, again, when we talked about wonder and awe as something that you experience when you're grounded in the present, I think that's some of the difference as well. It's like, it's more centering rather than consuming.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that like, that awe doesn't require anything of you to satisfy itself? Like that for entertainment, it requires your participation to satisfy the fact that it's entertaining. Whereas like awe does not require anything from you, right?
Yeah.
That it's something. Yeah. That's really
good. Yeah. I like that idea. I like the idea too of awe tends to grab us. Right. And where we like focus in, but it's this, invitational grabbing, whereas entertainment I think is different. It's constantly trying to force you to have your eyeballs on this thing, whatever it is.
It's kind of like when the earth shakes and the rocks split, nobody's like, it just wasn't really into that. There is this kind of like, it requires a response in certain ways or like, always kind of elicits that.
I wonder also if there's a different differentiation between awe and entertainment with connection. I feel like awe connects you to something and connects you to something bigger than yourself, whereas entertainment, it can actually leave you profoundly disconnected from things.
Yeah.
And disconnected from other people and disconnected from yourself even. Like it's just you're consuming it. Whereas awe and wonder, it actually connects you with the wider world in very beautiful ways.
Yeah. Our last question for today says, if worship is a full life response, how do we keep it from becoming compartmentalized into religious moments?
Oh, that's... Well...
So, wonder, surrender, and...
And serving is probably serving. What I would say. It's probably those three things. Like, I think those are some good ways to do that. And I think this is a challenge for us in our modern Western world, too, because we tend to be very compartmentalized people. Mm. So I think our world fights against it. So another thing I would actually say is... This sounds kind of funny and it sounds, I think, very pastory to say, but I think you should come to church every single week. Mm. And that the reason you should do that
does sound very,
it does pastory. Sound very, it does sound very pastory to be like, come to church. And you would think on a question around how do we make sure it doesn't get compartmentalized into religious moments? You wouldn't say like, come to church every right. Sunday. But I think what that does is we need at least a weekly reminder that we are called to live in worship every day of our lives. Mm. And I think we're more likely to compartmentalize worship to just religious spaces if we attend infrequently. And that part of what we do when we gather is to be reminded this is supposed to be throughout the entire week. Mm. And so I think that being formed in religious moments forms us to live in everyday moments.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's probably what I would really encourage people to do, to come to church every week. And that'll actually help you to make sure worship is a part of your whole life response.
Yeah, I think that's so good. Anything else you want to say before we close off for today?
No, just that this was a fun little like mini series to be able to talk through worship. It's been, yeah, and I got to mention camping, and I'm going to keep trying to convince people of it, even though I could never even convince my dad. My dad was so against it. So, yeah.
Yeah, we should also say, too, that this is the like penultimate podcast episode. We've got our last episode coming next week before we break for the summer, where we'll be talking with Laura Huh, because she's speaking this Sunday, and we're gonna hear some testimonies from people in the service, so it should be super good. That's a wrap for today's episode. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics that you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at the number in the description, or you can email us as well at the email in the description, and we'd really love to hear from you. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave a quick rating or review. It's a simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week. Yeah. See ya.
See ya.